morning.
Good morning.
It is truly a blessing to be back here this morning. I am so happy to be here again. I am so happy to see so many of you that I love as brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you for this opportunity to once again come before you. This morning, I want to take a minute to look at Galatians chapter 6. Chapter 6, verses 11 through 18. Chapter 6, verses 11 through 18. And it reads, "See what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand. Those who want to make a good impression outwardly are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Not even those who are circumcised obey the law. Yet they want you to be circumcised, that they may boast about your flesh. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is a new creation. Peace and mercy to all who follow his rule, even to the Israel of God. Finally, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen." I wanted to use the subject of my message this morning, bearing the marks of Jesus. Now, we talked about this morning in Bible study, that the book of Galatians is a book where Paul is addressing the issues of those who are attempting to justify themselves by the law. The entire book deals with him setting the record straight because he has gotten a word of the fact that there are some who are supposed to be Christians, going around teaching followers of Christ that they should be getting circumcised. He finishes off the last chapter in a similar fashion to how he started the first. He establishes the fact that it is him that writes this letter. That's why he says in verse number 11, "See what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand," just to make sure that there are no there is no confusion. Just to make sure that everyone who reads this letter knows this comes from the apostle himself. This does not come from an elder. This does not come from a deacon. This does not come from some preacher or some appointed brother. Because it is clear that even in the first century, you had those who decided to teach what they want to teach because they feel that they know so much that everybody has to do what they say. He says in verse number 12, "As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh." In the King James Version, it says that in the New King James, it says those who want to make a good impression outwardly are trying to compel you to be circumcised. And in the New Living Translation, and that's the one I like the most, it says those who are trying to force you to be circumcised want to look good to others. See, they aren't trying to get Christians to be circumcised because it's what the apostles are talking about. They're not trying to get somebody to adhere to what is new in Christianity. They're trying to make a boast about their national mark of Judaism. They're trying to get people to be baptized. Moses' law became a way for the Israelites to separate themselves from everybody else. And this was specifically seen in circumcision. This was in part because of the command for Abraham to circumcise his sons and all his descendants, male descendants. It was said by God to be a covenant made in the flesh. covenant in their flesh. But see, they were boasting about, these people are boasting about their adherence to the law because they have gotten circumcised. And here it is. This boasting, unfortunately, it really only applies for men. Women didn't get sacrificed, didn't get circumcised. You know, this was a boasting that most men are using to say, you know, to show that, hey, I'm a true Israelite. I've gotten circumcised. I obey the law of Moses. But see, they're not using it to really show their being faithful to God. Is really more of a way for them to show others that they are being pleasing to God. And Paul says, you know, he talks about him being a Hebrew of Hebrews. And this is this attitude we talked about this morning. There are those who, you know, they take pride in who they are and what this image that they have put out. And so this is what they're trying to continue in the New Testament. This is what they're trying to continue in the church. They're trying to take pride in something that really doesn't have anything to do with them. You know, God chose the nation of Israel. He made them a nation. It wasn't that it was just they were just the greatest nation on earth and God decided to come to them and say, okay, now you guys are going to be my people. If it wasn't for God, those people would not be a nation in the first place. Yeah. For a lot of these people who are using this kind of boasting, it's a superficial one. When I went to school, there were a lot of students who were ministerial students who had gotten impressed by some of the older preachers. And they have fell into that trap of wanting to be seen more than they were wanting to be heard. So they'd see the preachers with the gigantic cufflinks and see the ones wearing the robes and everything, and they, oh man, I like that. Oh, that's where I want to be, you know. One young brother that I encouraged, he seemed to, you know, fell into that trap too. He starts wearing this robe with a big cross on his chest and everything. And I was like, oh, okay, brother, what are you doing with this? You know, and so, I mean, it seems that a lot of them want to get into this attitude of they want to be called doctor and want to be acknowledged. Okay, you know, and I don't know what it is with this whole thing, but everybody wanted to be doctor. You know, they want to be called doctor, brother, so-and-so. Okay, whatever. You know, they were impressed with the preachers that came before them and the ones wearing the three-piece suits and all that. So they started to want to emulate that and that be their focus. Not because of the knowledge that they had, not because of how useful they were to people or because of these things, but it was just because they wanted to put on a show. They wanted to impress. They wanted people to look up to them. See, and this is what we see for a lot of the Jews who are claiming to be circumcised and claiming to be of Moses and claiming to adhere to the law. They want to impress. They want to show people, hey, look, you know, I'm somebody. I'm special. You know, we see Jesus talk about those who, the Pharisees and another section called, you know, the hypocrites, basically who have large borders on their garments and they wear all these fancy things just so people can see them. There's no shortage of people in this world that care more about what people think about what they do than what God thinks. Yeah. And that becomes abundantly obvious when Paul says that the ones who want to boast about keeping the law don't actually keep the law. There is a lot of them who want to do all this boasting and say, hey, you know what, I keep the law. But they're not actually keeping the law. We talked about this morning, you know, if anybody knows about what it takes to keep the law, Paul knows. Yeah. And some people will claim up and down that they know how to cook. And it comes down to it, they might end up burning down your kitchen. There are some people who want to say, you know, make it seem like they are so great at doing certain things, but when it gets down to it, they fall short. I remember when I was trying to good date with Barbara. I told her, you know, I was a chef. She said, girl, hey, I'm a chef. I can cook. You know, I can throw down in the kitchen, you know. I had really, truth be told, I'd only been barbecuing up to that point. I had never made any real meals, you know. And so I said, look, I can cook, you know. And you know, the fact is, these days, you know, I mean, when we first got married, there were times when Barbara ran in the kitchen, what are you burning? I'm cooking, girl. What are you talking about? And I had this attitude, you know, hey, look, I'm used to cooking on the grill. So I'm like, look, you know, hey, if we're going to cook something, the flame got to be hot, you know? So I always turn the temperature all the way up. You know, we got to have the flame up so we can cook. It's got to be hot, right? You know, recipe takes 30 minutes. No, we can cut that in half. So, of course, through the years, I learned how to put some real deals together. But at first, it was I just had this attitude that I wanted to impress her. So I wanted to show her that I could cook. But what I really should have done was just be real. See, most people don't want others to think less of them, so they put up this false front, this false facade. They put on this show of pretending to be something that they're not so that people start to end up believing it. They say that the winners write the history book. But the truth is, that's not really totally true. The people who don't want to be remembered as the losers write the history books. You see, how can people learn to grow and to be better, to progress, if they're not truly being honest with themselves? Man. If you look at some people's history, I mean, and I was looking at the special on Israel and on how accurate they were with their writings. The historians were surprised at how detailed their history was, how they talked about not only their successes, but also their failures. It talks about when they went into bondage to other nations and all this other stuff. And they said, that normally doesn't happen. When you look at other histories, the history of other nations, they talk about all the good stuff. They talk about all the good things that have happened. Oh, how we conquered this and we did that and we did all this. But they don't see a whole lot about their failures. You know, I saw this story about the Israelites and just the fact that, you know, God made sure that everybody could see the reality of what was going on with them. And even when it comes to the Egyptians, you see, and for the longest time, decades, there was a lot of time where there was not very much history that showed that the Israelites were ever in Egypt, that they were ever in bondage there, until archaeological finds, you know, in recent years that show that, yes, indeed, they were there as slaves, that they came out of Egypt, that they became a nation out of Egypt. You know, and so, like I said, I mean, there are people who just don't want to show the bad parts about who they are and what they've done, where they've been. And that's why Paul says in verse number 14, God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, man, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Of all the people that can say that they serve God under both the old covenant and in the new, Paul was in a unique position to have been able to boast for what he has done for God. And we already know his track record. He talks about it in 2 Corinthians 11 when he gives this what some people call his calling card. You know, that I've been beaten and done all this. I've done that and done this, and you know, I was a Hebrew of Hebrews. But instead of trying to take glory for what he himself has done, he would much rather glory in what Christ has done for us all on the cross. Christians today wear crosses. We have crosses on our Bibles, on our church buildings. We have them on most of our literature. For most of us, a cross is a symbol of hope. and of grace, a symbol of what's been done for us, as well as a symbol of our faith. But in the first century, the cross was a symbol of painful humiliation. The reason why they put cross, they put the, when they had the thieves on the cross with Jesus up there, that was on, alongside a major road so that everybody could see their shame. And usually what they do with Jesus, they do with most of them. They put their crimes above their heads so that they, everybody can see what these men did wrong. See, this is the understanding that Jesus had when he said, take up your cross and follow me. He wasn't saying just take up a burden and follow me. He was saying this journey is not going to be easy. Yeah. And it's not one that you're going to be able to take a lot of glory for. It's one that you're going to have to be humble for. Yeah. Paul says that he is going to glory in the cross. He wants to crucify the expectations of the world and let the others who try to exert their influence fade away. He says in verse 15, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision availeth anything but a new creation. Now, I didn't want to make this sermon about the law, but you kind of have to deal with that when you approach this issue of the circumcision and why it's not really, the why it really means nothing for us, you have to address it. And so the fact remains that those who were trying this whole argument of getting us circumcised, that doesn't hold up because the Mosaic law does not apply to us as Christians. Okay? It's not, we talked about this morning. God didn't abolish the law. He completed it. He fulfilled it. And just because those things have been fulfilled does not mean that we don't have requirements in the New Testament. You know, but somehow in this day and age, people are still trying to get folks to obey the law. Paul has already made it clear that we don't follow the old law. And if you try to keep any part of it, you have to keep the whole law. People today will try to say, we don't keep the ceremonial part. You know, we just take that part and throw it away. The Ten Commandments, that's what we keep. But you really can't keep the Ten Commandments because the Fourth Commandment says, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. We don't obey that. So it's really only 9 commandments that you follow. No. Paul said, if you keep one part of it, you have to keep the whole thing.
Amen.
And you can't even really keep even if you wanted to keep the Sabbath day, you can't keep the Sabbath day. You can't remember the Sabbath. The commandment is to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You can't remember the Sabbath day if you don't have the rest of the law.
Amen.
The rest of the law tells you about the Sabbath months, the Sabbath days, Sabbath weeks. It tells you what the ceremonial process is. It tells you everything you need to know about remembering the Sabbath. But yet, people try to get you to obey the Ten Commandments. A covenant, the old covenant, is like a contract. And the quickest and easiest way for me to compare it to a modern day contract. Because a covenant is nothing more than an agreement. You know, it's an agreement. You can call it a pact, a pledge, a promise, or you can call it whatever you want to. It gets back to the basic definition of being an agreement. God agreed with the nation of Israel that if they keep his word, they keep his law, then they would be his people, he would be their God. That's the basic covenant. That's the basic agreement that they had, the promise. I will be your God if you will keep my word. That's what God said. And every agreement or contract or covenant has rules that must be adhered to. Sometimes those rules are based on local law. Sometimes they're just based on the rules that the two parties agree on. The Mosaic Law was based on God's eternal commandments. Commandments that will never change. That's one reason why Jesus said he did not come to abolish the law. You can't abolish murder being a commandment because it is still required, no matter what you look at, how you see it. But when he came to the New Testament, he says, you have heard it said that by those of old you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother is in danger of the judgment. He said a similar thing about divorce, and he had a similar thing about adultery. A divine commandment that is seen in two different covenants, two different agreements. The commandment in the Old Testament had them do it in one way, and in the New Testament, we don't even get to the point of murdering before it's a sin.
Yeah.
See, so when you look at it, the rules that the God's commands don't change; they will always be requirements. That's one of the reasons why the commandment for us to worship upon one day of the week, and because it was part of the Old Testament law, people focus on the Sabbath. But that was just according to that covenant. According to our covenant today, we worship on the first day of the week. It was the first day of the week that the disciples came together to break bread. It was the first day of the week that Jesus rose from the grave. It was the first day of the week that they came together to take up the collection.
Man.
And the reason why it's important to point all these little details out is because when people today or even back then try to point us back to, oh, we need to get circumcised. Paul says it in the previous chapter. He said, we're trying to get under a curse. Because if you try to keep one part, you got to keep the whole thing.
Man.
The Sabbath no longer applies to us. The law does not apply to us. Paul told them that if you try to keep one part, you have to keep the whole thing. You are debtor to keep the whole thing. Galatians 5:3. You can't break it up into pieces. Yet even today, people try to say that we should keep the Ten Commandments. You can't keep focusing on the way things once were. It's time for us to focus on where we are going and what's eternal. This is the whole reason why Paul says circumcision doesn't mean anything. Like the way the Living Translation says, verse 15, it doesn't matter whether we have been circumcised or not. What counts is whether we have been transformed into a new creation.
Yeah.
Have you been made new? Yeah. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. He said, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Not somebody who is outside of Christ. Not somebody who is claiming to be with Christ. Not someone who has a tattoo of the cross on their back. He said, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. See, if you are in Christ, you don't have to put on a show. You don't have to put a cross and a big tattoo on your shoulder. You don't have to have a big cross on your chest so everybody can see who that you are with Christ. It will be evident because being in Christ will change the way you speak. It will change the way you live. It will change the friends you have in your life.
Man.
Being in Christ is going to leave an undeniable mark on your life. There are those that have always questioned whether Paul was really a servant of God. In the first century, it was understandable because, you know, he was out there chasing down Christians. But even today, there are those who question whether he really is a servant of God. But Paul says, you know, don't bother me with that anymore. Don't bother me with that nonsense. Besides all the things that he has already said about what he has been through for Jesus, he says his very skin testifies of the fact that he serves the Lord. I could just picture him saying, you know what? You see these marks on my head? That's from when I got stoned. You see these bruises on my wrist? That's when I was wearing chains for the Lord. You see this little mark on my hand? That was when I got bit by a poisonous snake. If I was to take my shirt off, you could see all the lashes that I have received for the Lord. See, if there was anybody who could boast about these things, it was Paul.
Yeah.
It was clear to anybody that cared to see it that Paul wasn't just providing lip service. He was truly bearing the marks of Jesus. He didn't have time to put on a show. His faith and willingness to serve the Lord has left a lasting impression not only on him and his life, but also on so many thousands over the years.
Yeah.
You know, I look at, in my own life, you know, I have done a lot for the Lord in trying to be a preacher and trying to serve Him, not just in trying to preach. I mean, long before I ever got in the pulpit, I was still serving on the table. I was still trying to teach Bible classes. I was still doing a lot of things for the Lord. And I've experienced my ups and my downs because of my faith. But if you are sincere about your faith, you don't have to do a whole lot of boasting about what you've been through and what you've experienced. Your very faith should be seen in how you have lived your life.
Yeah.
And what the results are in your life. Are you truly bearing fruit? He talked about in chapter 5 about us bearing the fruits of the Spirit. No matter who you are, if you are serving God, there is going to be an undeniable mark on your life. Maybe not the physical kind that Paul experienced. Maybe you don't have physical scars, but believe me, your life won't be the same after coming to Christ. There are people today who are still experiencing some of those issues today. You go over there, I mean, I don't know if people pay attention, but over in China right now, they are burning down church buildings. They are carrying off preachers to prison. Anybody who is suspected of teaching the gospel is arrested. So even though today in this country we don't experience the same level of persecution, there is still persecution for serving God. You know, I've had my share of experiences in serving the Lord, but another mark of my life of Christ has been seen in the way that my life has been blessed.
Amen.
I've been blessed to live to be married for 23 years. Same one. I have been a number of different states, made friends and family in different states. I have people who become like family to me. You know, and there are many ladies in a lot of churches that are like mothers to me. When my mother passed away, it was very devastating for me. And God has always provided me with the means of being able to be sustained through the things that I've dealt with.
Yeah.
My life up to this point is a direct result of me striving to serve God. I've had a lot of blessings and I've had a lot of issues. One of the issues even coming in here this morning, you know, hitting that ticket, you know, there's demons from Satan coming and stepping on my pedal and making me go faster. You know, that's a story I'm going to stick with. No, but I've been striving to serve God, and sometimes it ends up causing problems. But I may not have all of the things, the skills, or the money that some people can boast about, but one thing I can boast about is the fact that I have Jesus.
Amen.
I can boast that He has blessed my life. I can boast that when I stand before the judgment seat of God, the only thing I can claim is that I got Jesus.
Amen.
As I close out this sermon, I want to leave you with a story that I think illustrates this whole concept of bearing the mark of Jesus. Once upon a time, an old man and his son were on their way to the market. The old man was leading a donkey, and the boy was walking behind when they went through the first village. There, the people called the old man a fool for not riding the donkey. So, the man climbed up on the animal's back. In the second village, the people said that the old man was cruel to let the child walk while he enjoyed the ride. So the old man got off and put the boy on the donkey. In the third village, the people accused the boy of being lazy for making the old man walk. So the man got on the donkey with the boy. In the fourth village, the people felt sorry for the donkey because he was made to carry two people. So when the old man and his son arrived at the market, the old man was seen carrying the donkey. The moral of the story is that some people feel a need to impress others, but all they end up doing is carrying a heavy burden.
Amen.
What about you this morning? Have you found yourself bearing the true marks of Jesus in your life? Or are you bearing a heavy load trying to impress other people? God doesn't have much use for people pleasers. But Jesus went to prepare a place for those who please God. This morning, I don't know what your intentions are in being here. I don't know what your intentions are and the faith that you claim to have. But remember always that the one that we should be seeking to impress is God.
Yeah.
He is the only one that really matters. Because when it's all said and done, it's going to be about how we have used the time that He has given us and whether we have done things according to His word. Not Brother So-and-so, not Marcel, not some preacher, not the elders, not Deacon, not nobody else. Just have you kept His word?
Yeah.
Are you bearing His mark on your life? This morning, whatever your needs are, I know God will help you do the things that you're dealing with. You've heard the word, repented your sins, confess Jesus to be the one true Son of God, and stand together, we stand in the name of Jesus.